There's an important church-state case out of Montana that we should all be looking at. The case is going before the United States Supreme Court. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest right now is Elizabeth Slattery, who writes for Heritage, the Heritage Foundation. And I saw this article in the Daily Signal, which is from Heritage, and it was five key exchanges from the Supreme Court in religious school case. So the Supreme Court, I guess, has already heard the arguments on this particular case. Can you let us know about this whole Montana case and what's at stake?
Sure, and thanks so much for having me.
Sure, so thank you.
Last Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue. And the case raises an important issue. The state of Montana had created a tax credit scholarship program where taxpayers could receive a modest tax credit of up to $150 per year if they made a donation to a scholarship-granting organization. And then children could apply for scholarships and use the dollars at private schools. Well, a couple of years into the program, the school, the state decided it was going to have to restrict the use of funds at religious schools because of a constitutional provision in the Montana Constitution that says that public funds may not be used to aid sectarian or religious organizations. So parents who had children who received these scholarships and were already at religious schools sued so that they could hopefully be able to continue to use these funds at religious schools. And this went all the way to the Montana Supreme Court, which decided that it was going to strike down the scholarship program in its entirety because the way the legislature set it up originally by allowing religious schools to receive these funds, that violated the state constitution.
Oh, wow. So all the children lost out because they wouldn't accommodate the religious students involved in this. Okay, let's go ahead and you've got five main points to your article. So let's go ahead and have you highlight these one at a time.
Okay, so the first issue that came up, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the first to ask a question during the oral argument, and this was, do the parents who are the litigants at the Supreme Court, are they the right people to bring this lawsuit in the first place? They are arguing that this is a violation of their free exercise of religion, and Ginsburg wanted to know, well, should this be brought by the taxpayers who receive the tax credit, or should it be brought by the religious schools who are no longer able to receive scholarship funds? And the lawyer for the parents said, you know, look, the parents were the beneficiaries of this scholarship program, the parents and the families, and there is a financial harm because they are being penalized for their free exercise of religion because they wanted to send their children to religious schools. The federal government also weighed in on the side of the parents, and a lawyer for the federal government said that, you know, everybody concedes that if all the parents in this program wanted to choose secular schools, there would have been no basis for what the state court did, and the scholarship program would still exist today.
Hmm. And by the way, you know, here's what the First Amendment says related to religion. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And with some of the liberal Supreme Court decisions, you know, going back to the 60s especially, and then 1980 with the culmination with the striking down the Ten Commandments in the schools and so forth, they never seem to get to the part about free exercise of religion. You know, they're just like, oh, you know, we can't have any kind of sneaky vestige of religion in public places anymore. All right, so let's go on to your next second question. It's, are states required to give money to religious schools? How does that work?
Yeah, so this was a question that a couple of the justices asked about, and I've seen some of the news coverage since the argument suggesting that if the court rules in favor of the parents in this case, that would basically spell doom for public schools across the country. But that's not so. You know, Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked if the Constitution would require states to give money to secular and religious schools, but the lawyer for the parents explained that, you know, states have the choice to set up school choice initiatives like this one, voucher programs, tax credit scholarships, other school choice initiatives. They don't have to do that, but Montana decided to set up this program. So once a state decides to set up a program like this, then they can't discriminate between parents who want to use funds at a secular school and parents who want to use funds at a religious private school.
Right.
But nobody is arguing that states have to fund religious schools.
Right. And this ludicrous. Explains, though, why the Supreme Court of Montana then struck down the whole law, hurting everybody, you know, in that sense. And by the way, I just real fast, you know, it can be argued. In fact, the Supreme Court said in Tocasa v. Watkins in defining religion, and they said, here's a number of religion. You know, obviously, Christianity is not the only religion, but they said the word religion can be used for, and they listed out a whole number of different belief systems, and included in that was secular humanism and atheism. And, you know, I've heard some church state scholars on the conservative side say that, well, in effect, you have an established religion in the public schools of America. You have this basically secular humanism where they don't allow any, religion to be taught in the school. So in effect, they have established religion contrary to what the founders said in the First Amendment. All right. Next point. Will the court strike down all Blaine amendments? Please explain. There was a senator in the 19th century, Senator Blaine, who had kind of an anti-Catholic bias. Explain what the Blaine amendments mean.
Yes. So as you mentioned, Senator James Blaine in the late 1800s was a proponent of trying to amend the federal constitution to prohibit any public funds from going to what he called sectarian schools. Now, this was a code for Catholic. This was proposed around the time of the Irish potato famine, where we had waves of Irish Catholic immigrants coming into the country, and it was infected with anti-Catholic bias. So the federal amendment failed, but a number of states implemented their own, and so they're called, you know, mini Blaine amendments or just Blaine amendments. So that's what Montana has, is the no aid constitutional provision that says that no public funds can aid or go towards religious organizations. Now, this isn't the first time this issue has come up to the Supreme Court. A couple of terms ago, the court heard a case out of Missouri where Missouri had discriminated against a daycare center that was run by a church. The daycare center had applied for a grant to resurface the playground with scrap tires. It was a program the state was running, and the state said we can't consider you for this grant because that would be giving aid to a religious organization. So the court didn't rule on the Blaine Amendment in that case, but in the Montana case, we have the same issue coming up again, where it's because of the state's Blaine Amendment that they're saying, you know, no funds can go to this organization because it's religious. But in the Montana situation, you have the added layer of protection here between, you know, public funds going to a religious organization, because they're going to private individuals who then make the choice of where to use that money. They could use it at secular private schools, or they could use it at religious private schools, and they've chosen that religious private schools are, you know, where they want their children to go, and they should be able to direct their children's education.
All right, very good. And by the way, in that case with the religious daycare center, as I recall, the Supreme Court ruled definitely in favor of the religious school, as opposed to, you know, in favor of the secularists who did not want that funding to go to that.
That's correct. It was actually a 7-2 ruling. So,
wow.
Seven justices.
That's
agreed.
Better than 5-4.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed that Missouri had discriminated against this church, the church-run daycare, but they didn't say anything about the Blaine Amendment, which the state had tried to hide behind and say, well, you know, our Constitution requires us to do this.
Okay, the next point in your article, does eliminating the program eliminate the constitutional violation?
Yeah, so this was something that Justice Brett Kavanaugh wanted to know about. He said, you know, in his view, eliminating the program didn't get rid of the constitutional violation here. It made it worse because, you know, if this kind of ties into a comparison that Justice Alito made to race discrimination, if you had a scholarship program and then, you know, somebody was looking at where the money, who the recipients were, if they decided that they didn't like the color of the skin of the individuals who were receiving the scholarships and then decided to cancel the program, so no one would get the money, that would still be race-based discrimination. So Alito and Kavanaugh were suggesting that getting rid of the program in this way didn't cure the violation. It made it worse.
Hmm. Okay. And then also, how does this compare to other types of discrimination?
Yeah, so as I was just saying, Justice Alito brought up a comparison to race-based discrimination. And, you know, the lawyer for the federal government who was up there supporting on behalf of or supporting the Montana parents also said, you know, if the Montana court had invalidated the program because it included historically African-American schools or all-girls schools, that would be a straightforward violation, and nothing would be fixed by just denying other parents funding as well.
Hmm. Okay, so what is your assessment then of this case overall? How do you think, I'm not asking you to predict how you think it will go, but you know, lay out your own thoughts on this.
Yeah, so, you know, it's always a risky business to predict how the justices might rule in a particular case. It seemed like, you know, there were three justices from the more liberal wing who were very concerned about, you know, are the parents really the right party to bring this case? But Justices Kavanaugh and Alito and even the Chief Justice seemed pretty sympathetic to the parents. And so, it's my hope that the parents will prevail and that, you know, the court's ruling in the Missouri case that I mentioned from a couple of years ago, you know, will apply in this area as well and not be limited, you know, just to daycare centers, but that it'll be clear that states can't discriminate against religious institutions simply because they are religious. Or religious parents because they want to send their kids to religious institutions.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned in your article that Justice Clarence Thomas said, quote, it was an open secret that sectarian was code for Catholic. Justice Thomas in the past has noted that the fountainhead decision of all these kinds of establishment clause cases related to religion and whereby, you know, frankly, school prayer was struck down, Ten Commandments in the schools struck down, Bible reading as devotion was struck down in the public schools. The fountainhead of all these decisions was born of anti-Catholic prejudice, and that was in 1947 in the Everson versus Board of Education decision, where for the first time the words Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof was changed to there should be this strict wall of separation of church and state. Oh, and not only at the federal government level, but also for the states. Okay, we have about 1 minute left. Anything else you want to say related to this case and what's at stake? Please wax eloquent.
Well, there are a lot of states that have been implementing school choice initiatives and trying to give parents more opportunities to direct the funding for their children's education and to really put them in the driver's seat. And so if the court rules in favor of the parents in this case, that could open up a world of opportunity for parents in states across the country that have Blaine Amendments like Montana. 37 or 38 states have similar provisions in their constitutions.
Wow.
That can really hamper school choice efforts. So this could have a really big impact if the court rules for the parents.
Sure. Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Elizabeth Slattery with Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, for more information. Thank you, Elizabeth. All the best.
Thanks for having me.